Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast from PCI. Last time, Andrew hosted a conversation about getting back together again and getting going again based on a new resource. And this time we're going to focus on the subject of children's discipleship. My name is Ruth Bromley, PCI's Children's Development Officer, and I am your host for this episode. At the General Assembly this year, I was asked during our alternative presentation what I thought were the opportunities coming out of the pandemic in terms of children's discipleship. In my answer, I issued a bit of a challenge, both to myself as a leader and volunteer and to the church as a whole, to think about how we disciple the children who are connected to our congregations and in our communities. The challenge was this. I think we are pretty good at teaching children Bible stories. We're good at filling their heads with facts about the Bible. We're good at helping them know how to act and speak when they're at church. We're good at creating what has been called God's smart children. But I want to see God-connected children. Children who have been discipled so well at home and in church that they know how to take those Bible stories and facts and the love of the church family they're part of and know how that changes how they live their lives from a Monday to a Saturday. I would love to see our congregations full of children who love God and have a growing relationship with Him and live that faith out at home, in school, and in their communities. It's a big dream, but it's one that we need to consider and be challenged by if we want the children's ministry and the family discipleship going on in our congregations to make a difference. Teaching Bible stories isn't enough. We need to deeply disciple our children from when they are toddlers in what it means to follow Jesus. Joining me in this conversation today are James Rogers and Aisling Pitt, and they're going to share some ideas and insights and stories of children's discipleship from their experience. Thank you for joining with me today. Chat about discipleship with children, and maybe we could start by you introducing yourselves a bit more than I just have, telling us who you are and where you're from and your involvement in your congregation or organization. So James, could we start with you and then Aisling can go after?
Sure. Hi Ruth, I'm James Rogers. I'm minister in Ballinure Presbyterian, which is up near Ballyclare direction, and I'm married to Karen. And we have four ever-growing children from age 23 down to age 15. So children's ministry has been a long part of our lives.
Yeah, and my name is Aisling, and I am the Scripture Union A3 skills worker for East Antrim. So I cover Carrickfergus, Lorne and Ballyclare. And I'm married to Timothy, and we live in Belfast.
Brilliant. Thank you. And thank you so much for joining in this conversation that I feel is really important that we have just generally, but specifically maybe coming out of this pandemic and how we move children's ministry on. So today we're going to talk about children's discipleship of children connected to our congregations and in the communities around them. So the first question is, why do you think it's important to disciple children? Well, I'll be a bit controversial and suggest that maybe should we not put more effort into adult discipleship because they're the ones that are out and about and maybe talking more, and do we need to worry about the children, or what is it that makes it important to disciple children well? James, do you want to start with that one?
I wouldn't pit the choice between children and adults, obviously. Ruth, you don't mean to, of course. The children are out and about as much as the adults are in many ways, in school and all those kind of things in their everyday lives. But I mean, I think, you know, we probably know that an awful lot of people become Christians before they're adults, you know, as children and as young people. So, you know, it's obviously pretty key that we disciple those young believers in the faith. And in many ways, many of the children certainly who are about us, let's say on a Sunday, tend to be children of parents who are coming to church as well. So, you know, you want to be helping the parents to disciple their own children. But and obviously scripturally, you know, Deuteronomy 6, you know, pass these commands on to your children, talk about them along the road, all that kind of thing, you know, is obviously very much you know, at the heart of how God works in us passing on our faith to our children. So yeah, few reasons there.
Yeah. Ashley, what do you think?
Well, I think if we don't speak into the lives of children and disciple them, then the world will. And I just think that is something that we are all influenced by, so many different things, different people, ideas. And so as followers of Christ, that we should have this want within us to instruct our children, to help them along, to navigate through the challenging times that maybe they have already faced and probably will face in the future. But also to take faith for themselves, that actually they're not taking their parents' faith and dealing with the world around them as what they think their parents would, but actually equipping them for how to deal with it themselves. And so I do think that there is so much importance to do it for children. They're little sponges. They take everything in to do children's ministry and discipleship.
That's a really good point, actually, that if we're not discipling our children, the world definitely is. It's just happening all the time. And that's something that's really struck me in recent times again, that for all of us, you know, children, young people, adults, but that we are all being discipled, frankly. And it's just who's discipling us and whose way are we being discipled? So I think that's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so important that we put the effort in, isn't it? To not, as I said, not just teach them Bible stories, but how do they live that out in their lives? So in your experience, James, I'm going to come back to you again in this. In your experience, what difference does good discipleship of children make in their lives and in the life of the congregation?
Well, I suppose from what I've seen over the years, state the obvious in some senses, but it makes faith solid. It makes faith sticky. I know that's a phrase that's been used over the years. It makes faith in Christ last. You know, it's all very well, you know, and we want our children to come from all around our community to our various outreach activities and so on and so forth. But once they've committed themselves to Jesus, there's a whole life ahead that we want to equip them for. And if we're doing that, then you see that difference in those children's lives as they grow up, and they're just a bit stronger as teenagers, if you like, in their faith. They're just a bit more solid as Ashley was saying, as the world around them tries to disciple them. They're just able to handle that a little bit better. Kind of that stickability in their faith is more evident, you know, and just, I suppose, providing that environment around them that helps them to grow and to be faithful. I mean, one of the organizations in our congregation that sadly hasn't restarted since COVID, but prior to COVID was very effective in many ways, was the Christian Endeavor. And part of their approach, as people might know, was very much about equipping children to be involved in and lead a meeting and have roles to play. And you're equipping them to pray, you're equipping them to read a Bible passage, you're equipping them to run an activity, you're sending them home to think about things and to come back the next week. And I have seen the impact of that. Some of the young adults that we have now, or indeed who have gone elsewhere now, who are solid in their faith, who came through the likes of CE or a similar organization that's doing that equipping kind of work, you know, I've really seen the impact of that.
Yeah. And I think I've seen CEs and other congregations as well just give children and young people the confidence in their faith, isn't it? And to take part in their congregation and just to know how to pray in front of others and read the Bible. And it's great when you can see that when they're discipled in how to live as a disciple, if you like, and how to go through those disciplines of faith that we're part of.
Yeah, I think there's something about us speaking what we know and have learned and are then passing it on to somebody else, even if that's a six-year-old leading in prayer and they've been helped to think about what words you're going to say and why you're going to say them. Like even those little steps are making a big difference. I think there's something in that, you know. I mean, it's how we all learn and grow at the end of the day.
Yeah, brilliant. Aisling, do you have anything you can share about what a difference good discipleship can make in the lives of children and congregations they're part of?
Yeah, I would see it as a ripple effect, actually, through the whole congregation whenever our children's lives are being poured into. You know, our churches are multi-generational. It's a multi-generational place. And whenever you have older people with so much godly wisdom, and they just want to see the children grow in faith. It is a ripple effect through the whole congregation. And so, yeah, I think good discipleship of children, it takes so much time and so much effort and consistency, actually. It can't just be fleeting or just something that happens on a whim, but really, really intentional with our children every day. And I think it's so key that it's modeled out with the whole congregation, and especially parents at home. They see their kids quite often, and especially through COVID times, they've seen them even more. And so actually just for them to see discipleship in the everyday is so, so important, and that it is modeled at home and then through church as well.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've noticed even as a parent, seeing like in holiday Bible clubs this past summer, seeing how that even that consistency of 5 days in a row and the discipleship that's happened there, how that's impact the faith of my child whenever she's at home, but also the prayers of the people in our church who are consistently over our children and the children in the congregation, and the example that leaders set in being intentional, and just other adults in the congregation set in being intentional with children, has a massive impact on children's lives. Now, Aisling, your job is a little bit different in that you're not working in a congregation. You work for Scripture Union, and you're in and out of schools regularly with your role doing assemblies and classes and being involved in SU groups. And this is a big question that we've been asking a lot recently, but for what you see and what you've seen over the last little while working for SU, what is it like being a child who is a Christian in school today? And what are the challenges that they face?
I think it is incredibly hard to be a child who's a Christian in school, especially today. The culture that we live in is very fluid. There's no consistency. There's very little commitment. And so for a child who's a Christian in school, they really stand out, actually. And that can be really difficult for some children, that they stand out but also want to fit in all at the same time. And so I've really noticed that choices and values, they are really shaped at a younger age, not during their teenage years. And so you might think that there's no peer pressure happening in primary school age in children, but it really is. Whether that is on gaming or swearing or following things like that, you can really see that the children who are Christian, they find it really difficult in who they are with. And so whenever they're in school, they have the peer pressure of, do they follow that crowd? But whenever they're at home, there's like a guilt or shame that they might face if they do swear. And so you really notice people pleasing kind of thing that happens within children, and so they don't know who they are. And discipling children, you want them to know who they are in Christ. And the gaming side of things, especially coming out of COVID, friendships are so, so difficult. And children now think that connecting with people is through gaming, through online. Can you have a really great conversation on social media? Let's be honest, we can't. And Jesus, he was the one that modeled having the connections with people. And so for Christian children, they really find that difficult, I find. There's a lot of insular thoughts, there's a lot of feelings, and we know that our feelings are fleeting. And so schools today, they do lean in a little bit more into feelings and how they feel, which is both good and challenging. And so I do think being a Christian in school, it is really challenging, and it's our job as SU, as parents, as leaders and congregations, to surround our children and to equip them as they do go into the mission field of school, because I do think that's what it is.
Yeah, that's wow. I think, I mean, James, I'm going to ask you in a wee second, do you think as a church we recognize how hard that is? But I remember a few years ago we had a conversation about children going into school and how much easier it is for an eight-year-old to go in and sit beside an eight-year-old in school and share their faith, rather than even somebody like Aisling who works for SU going in and out, and how we can equip children for that. But do you think as a church we recognize how hard it is to be a Christian child in school as we disciple them to do that?
Well, it's pretty difficult because we're not in their shoes and we're not a fly on the wall at school, and we don't see really what it's like unless obviously we're a teacher or what have you. But and we probably would, as adults, I guess, recognize that school is a harder place to live for Jesus than it would have been when we were kids. And certainly for parents, we've probably heard, you know, a little bit, obviously, of what the day-to-day life of school is like for our kids. But we want to hear some of that, of course, as well. So I think we maybe recognize that it is hard, but we maybe don't know what that's actually like. And maybe we're not great at even just asking, you know, our children or young people, tell us what it's like, you know, what's going well, what's a challenge, what's it like to be a Christian in your place, you know, things like that. And just to hear, and I think there'll be varied experiences too, won't there? There's some schools that have a lot of Christian teachers and, you know, assemblies and things like that are encouraging times and places, and there'll be other schools where that ethos is less of the case. And obviously, you know, that kind of thing's changing within schools quite rapidly too. So, but I think we could do some learning. I think we could do some listening to our children, our young people, indeed and others who work in schools to help us know a little bit more about what it's like, and learn from folks like Aisling as well as to what they see whenever they go in to work with our children.
Yeah, absolutely. I think asking questions is really important, isn't it? Just to know how children are feeling and what they're facing, and in the hope that consistency we were talking about earlier and the intentionality of asking those questions, that children will open up and share what it is like, and there will be a variety of responses to that. So whenever we disciple children in church and help them to know what it is to live a life of faith, we don't just disciple them to know how to behave in church. That might be part of it, what it means to be part of a church family and engaged with what goes on there, but we obviously want to disciple them to live their faith out on a Monday to a Saturday at home and their families with their friends at school and all that. Do you have ideas and ways that we can do that as churches, as leaders, ministers, as members of congregations, and how we do that? James, would you want to take that? Is there ways that we can, the ways and ideas that we can do that as churches?
I find this quite challenging to think about, Ruth. I think we have a lot of learning to do here. One of the things that struck me coming out of COVID actually was a few families in our congregation who clearly made it early on Sunday to be there, and they brought their young children, even though church at the time wasn't that necessarily easy for, you know, children to be at, and just that message that they loved their church and that they loved going to church to be with their fellow Jesus followers, I thought was really, really powerful. And just simply as parents and leaders and others, to show our children that we really love church, we really love Jesus, we really love being together with his people. That's kind of stating the obvious in some senses. But I suppose in terms of ideas, I mean, the good old classic Back to School with God that we've been talking about for 10 years or more now, thankfully, and encouraging in our schools, in our churches, as schools get back in September and things. You know, it says a lot, you know, there's a message that comes through when you do something like that. And I know obviously quite a few churches are doing that kind of thing. Again, people probably know of the kind of interview style thing you can do with people, just bring them up and ask them about their everyday lives and what it's like to live for Jesus there. Well, bring up a pupil, bring up a teenager, bring up a student, bring up a teacher. And it just, I suppose it shows on a Sunday morning that what happens Monday to Saturday counts as well. And, you know, using those kind of opportunities. But I guess, too, and I reflect on this myself as a minister, teaching the Bible, children in a children's address, or, you know, for our leaders in our Sunday school or the equivalent of that, or whether it's for GBBB. You know, as you said at the very start, you know, we're probably not too bad at teaching the Bible and the facts and the stories. I think we have to grapple with the application and response side of it, and be trying to think a lot more practically about, well, what does this actually look like for an 8-year-old sitting in school? Or indeed, you know, what if it is a kind of kids club situation, what activity do I want to follow up with that is actually practical, that gets them doing something? Maybe it is writing a prayer for their friend at school, or you know, whatever the kind of creative idea. So often it's kind of, let's get the knowledge into our heads, but then we don't do anything with it. So I think we maybe need to think a little bit more about that as well, and help them make the connections in those type of activities. Well, what does your Wednesday look like? Where are you going to be? What are the challenges you face? How does this message about Jesus apply to that situation, whether it's about telling the truth or serving other people or passing on the faith or whatever? You know, what does that look like for you? And I think we maybe need to do the hard work of kind of looking at that a bit more and a bit deeper, getting people like you, Ruth, to help us with it.
Yeah. And do you know, that part of children's ministry is the bit that is harder. It's not in the book. You know, it's maybe not in the teacher's guide. Sometimes it's about setting aside what is in the plan and having space to do that and to talk and to let children ask questions and to share stories, both leaders and kids sharing stories about what that's like. And that's the hard bit, because it's, you can't prepare for that in the same way and control it. And it's having the courage to do that. And I think that's part of my challenge to the church, is that we need to move beyond simply teaching the Bible stories and using the guide and creating that little bit of space to wonder what this looks like. Do you know, what does it mean to follow Jesus on a Monday? What does it mean when your friends are falling out in school? What does it mean when there's stuff going on at home that's hard to handle and hard to deal with? Your parents split up, or do you know, how do you live your faith out in those places? And how do we give children's ministry leaders the confidence and the space to be able to have those discipling conversations and challenging children?
Yeah. Even, sorry to cut in there, Ruth, on you, even just as you're talking, you know, you can do fun stuff like, you know, what does Jesus say about gaming? Mm-hmm. You know, what does he say about being on the football team? What does he say about playing an instrument? You know, you don't have to spend all night on it, but, you know, a few minutes show A, that he's interested in these things, and B, that there's a Christian way, if you like, to go about these things. Yeah. You know, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, be texting Bible verses to your mates while playing games online. You know, that there's just a way to, I suppose, live as a Jesus follower in all these environments. I think maybe, you know, you can ask those quite direct questions. You know, we should be doing it as adults as well as kids, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Aisling, what sort of things, you're obviously, like we've said, you're going in and out of schools, you're working for SU, and you're helping churches as well to think about how to disciple children in terms of being in school and that. What can churches do out there? What can we do to support you, the other volunteers that go in and out with E3 workers to share the gospel with children in schools, to do assembly, to do classes? And are there a couple of things that the listeners to this podcast could pray for you specifically over the next few weeks and months as you do the work you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think churches might feel that they really want to support their local schools, but they don't know where to start. They're not sure where to begin with that. And so I think making the initial contact with the adults in the school is really key, the teachers, the staff. I really believe that there's so much power in dropping in buns, donuts, sweets, chocolates. It goes such a long way with the adults to show that the church is supporting the whole school, whether that's through an inspection or just even generally on a Thursday for a Friday treat. There you go. We are supporting you and showing hospitality as well to the local school that you have in the area. There's so many people that speak into schools. Schools are a place of influence, and there's so many people and so many voices that are spoken in schools. And so to be able to go into schools to share the gospel, to bring God's good news, to make it known, is a wonderful privilege to be able to do that. And so I think it's really important to be praying for the people that are going in, because it is a battleground. There are so many different voices. So building a relationship with the schools and to be really consistent with your schools. You might think that going in and taking assemblies, you're just filling a slot, but actually it's way more than that. You're having conversations with the staff through the corridor. You're opening God's word with so many children on a Friday morning, it's more than just filling in a slot. And so I think just making sure that there's a purpose, you are going into schools and to be praying for the people that are going in, your ministers, the local youth workers, people like that. And so to support them in that way, to be praying for them, asking them how they are or joining them. The heart of E3 is to bring local people in with us into our local schools. So people from churches coming in to take lessons that we have, to be part of an SU group, lots of different ways like that. And also if you want to receive training as well, you might be thinking and listening, I would love to have the opportunity to take lessons or assemblies, but I don't know how to. You can receive training from SU. We are available to do that. That's part of our role, to train so many people to do schools ministry, because it is different to children's ministry in a church. And so we are a volunteer-led organisation, and we want to partner well with local churches and local ministries to make God's good news known to children, young people and families, a family as a whole. And so just a few prayer points that I thought of is that whenever you go into schools, it's really challenging and what you bring isn't always well received. And so just protection over our children that we have there and the people that do go in, that they go in well, that there is a consistency as well. And also for our Christian staff, who daily they continue to be salt and light in their classrooms, in their schools, to be the hospitality in the classrooms too. And so I'm sure I've said loads of different things on how you can support people like me, but also that people can do it themselves. Do you know, like, everyone has a role to play in schools ministry, whether that is the conversations with children after school from your church, just dropping in sweets or treats into the staff. So many people have a role to play. And I think it's just recognising that as well.
Aisling, thank you. That's really helpful. Now, we ask all participants on our podcast to share a piece of scripture that has spoken to them over the last little while. And I wonder if you could share something that helps you as you think about the importance of discipling children well. Aisling, can you go first with them?
Yeah, so I thought of Psalm 139. It really came to my heart, especially as part of our lessons. We do P7 It's Your Move lessons, and we teach them Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And so I think teaching our children that they are created by God and they're made in his image, and that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, not to compare themselves with other people around them, but to know that truth, that they are made in the image of God, that he was the one that created them, knows them and loves them. So Psalm 139.
Thanks, Aisling. James?
When I was thinking about it as in terms of the discipleship of children, the verse that came to my mind, I must confess, it was Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I'm not telling you that it's my kids' favorite verse, but they might have been able to throw it at me on a few occasions over the years. But I think, you know, there is Paul addressing fathers, parents, and how they disciple their children. But also he's doing so, remember, in a letter that's being read out to the entire congregation. And just before that verse, in verse 1, he addresses children, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So, you know, even in that letter that was read in a church service, as it were, in the first century in Ephesus, there's Paul underlining the importance of children, but also, you know, obviously families discipling their children, but also it's in the context of church. So it's all churches, you know, church life, discipling our children. And, you know, whether we're parents or not, we can be spiritual parents and spiritual influencers and mentors, as Aisling was saying earlier, actually. And I think, you know, we want to pray that, yeah, we wouldn't exasperate our children, but that we would bring them up in the training or the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as I think the older translation would have had it, and to nurture them in the faith. And, you know, that speaks to me as a minister as much as it does as a father as well.
Thank you. And thank you so much to both of you for joining me this morning for this conversation and for sharing some of the stories of your experience and the importance of discipleship of children. And if any of the listeners need any help with thinking about children's discipleship in your congregation, please feel free to get in touch with me in Assembly Buildings. And before I go, I just wanted to bring a couple of things to your attention and hope they'll be useful. Last month, we held a webinar on key skills in children's ministry, looking at some of the basics of ministry with children in congregations. And the recording of that webinar is available. If you contact me, I can send you the link for that. And secondly, Foundations Training are a series of regional evening events being held between now and the spring. There'll be a mix of teaching, discussing, and resourcing for ministry in this season of church life. And they're specifically for volunteer leaders. So come and join with others in your region to be equipped in ministry to children, young people, and families in your congregation. And the first event is next Thursday, the 17th of November in Ballymuir in James's Church. And the second of those events is the 24th of November, and we're in First Oma. And all information on other venues and times, etc., and signing up for those is available on the events section of the PCI website. And please feel free to check out presbyterianireland.org for other resources, events, and initiatives over the coming weeks. And also you can look at the PCI Children's Ministry Facebook page. But for now, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.